check it out first. Yeah, it's pretty good. Now I've got a wet hand. But it's exciting. There's nothing more wonderful than people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism is something that we all can rejoice in and just celebrate with such a joy in our hearts. I remember when I was baptized on the 19th of December 1971, and it was just a real awesome time in my life, and I remember it very clearly. And at that time I was baptized in water. I was also filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, and come out of the water praising God in other tongues, and just an awesome time. So something very special, something very profound about our baptism. And so we just want to talk about baptism tonight. I want to talk about, first of all, who should get baptized. So who should be baptized? Talk about why do we get baptized? Talk about how we get baptized. I'll give you a clue. It's got something to do with this tank of water here right in front of you, just for those who are a little bit unsure. And it's not holy water, it's actually a baptism tank. And what does it represent? What does baptism represent? What I want to look at is the letters of the word baptize, and look at that as a bit of a acrostic, and have a look at what actually that means. So the first thing I want to look at is who should get baptized. So I want to look at the B of baptize, and B stands for born again. And it's very clear in the scripture that baptism is for people who are believers, people that have come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3, there's a story with Jesus with one of the religious leaders, Nicodemus. He was a member of the rulish Jewish council, ruling council. And so he was somebody that believed in God. So he believed in God. He was a godly man. He was a Pharisee. So he had a good life, nice, decent living person. And he believed in God. And but there was something missing in his life. And Jesus answered, and this is talking to Nicodemus, the man who believed in God, who had a good life, a nice person, never killed anyone, never hurt anyone, a religious person. But Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." And so it's not enough that we're a good person, not enough, yeah, we believe there's a God somewhere. It really comes down to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And everyone who's being baptized tonight are people that have come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've said, "Lord Jesus, I've sinned in my life. I have blown it. I've hurt people. I've hurt myself, Lord, and worst of all, I've hurt you, Lord." And they've confessed that before God. And they've allowed God to cleanse them, to take away all of that sin by the sacrifice of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and to begin to take on themselves a brand new life as a new person with a new life, a new hope in Christ. And so they're born again with a whole new life. And so it's for people that are born again. It's for believers. Who's baptism for? It's for people that are born again, people who are believers. We don't baptize little children. Babies don't believe very much other than my nappy's poopy and I'm hungry. That's about it. And maybe I'm tired. I'll throw in the three things. And that's everything but the substance of a baby. So what we do as a church, we bring little children, even as little children were brought to Jesus, to bless them. We dedicate little children. But believers are the ones that we baptize, just following the pattern of the scripture. So who gets baptized? All believers can be baptized. So why should we get baptized? And why get baptized? So I want to look at the A. So B for born again. A is to accept God's will for your life. And that's exactly what these people are doing. They've got a new life in Christ. And now they're declaring, "I'm going to live this new life that I have. I'm going to live it according, accepting God's will for my life, accepting God's plan for my life." And so what they're doing is something out of obedience. They're telling what the Lord has told them to do, and they're saying, "Yes, Lord, I've surrendered my life to you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live my life for your glory. I'm going to walk in obedience." And Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." This is Jesus giving a commandment. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus commanded us to baptize. Also, we obviously got to be baptized in Acts 2:38. This is Peter talking on the day of Pentecost. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, who? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we want to get baptized because we're obedient. We're saying, "I want to live my life for Christ." And the Lord said, "Well, next thing, you get baptized." And so that's why we're getting baptized. We get baptized because we're accepting God's will for our life. And it's for every believer. It's not an optional extra. Maybe a little bit later when you feel a little bit more spiritual. No, you're saved. We get baptized. It's for all believers, and we do it because we want to obey. The other reason why we get baptized is the P of baptized is that we're patterning our life after Christ. We're following Christ's example. He's given us a pattern. He's given us an example to follow. And when you become a Christian, you say, Lord, I want to live my life for you. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to live my life for your glory. And so in Matthew 3, 13 to 15, this is where Jesus himself came to get baptized. This is the creator of heaven and earth, creator of the universe, who has come down to live among us, walk among us in human form as a man. And he was baptized. And it tells us this in Matthew 3, 13 to 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. By the way, all those pictures you see in the background, they're all different pictures of the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. I don't know exactly where, so you can pick whichever one you like. But he was baptized in the Jordan. So Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. This is John the Baptist. Tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Saying, hang on, I know who you are. Do you know who you are? Yeah, I think you do. Yet you're coming to me to baptize you. And Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And we know that when Jesus went down into the water, into the Jordan River, when he came up out of the water, Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove and came upon him. A voice from heaven said, this is my son. Listen to him, or in him I am well pleased. And so we need to follow that. We're following Christ's example. Jesus found it was necessary to be baptized. And so that's another reason why we get baptized. We're following Christ's example. So who? Well, everyone is born again. Why? Because we're accepting God's will and we're following after his example. We're patterning our life after Christ. So what about the T is how we baptize? And how do we baptize is by total immersion. And so we come to baptize someone, we actually have enough water so that the person is totally immersed in the water, and we do let them out again, which is really good, and they come out of the water. And that's exactly what happened in the Scripture. Every example of baptism in Scripture, they looked for much water, and they came, went in the water, and they came up out of the water. So they weren't sprinkled, they went down in the water, and they came out. That is the biblical pattern. Matthew 3:16, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And in Acts 39 is the story of Philip, the evangelist, with the Ethiopian eunuch, and tells him about the things of God. This guy's mind is blown away, gives his heart to Christ, and says, well, I want to get baptized. They go, okay, well, here we go. Bang, off you go, we'll baptize you. And it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So in the Scripture, they came up out of the water, and that is the biblical pattern. In fact, the word baptize actually means to dip into the water. And the earliest example we have of the word baptize being used comes around about 207 BC with a guy called Nicander, who actually wrote the first pickle recipe. And he tells you how to make a pickle. And you want to make a pickle, you boil up the thing, the gherkin, whatever it is. You boil it up really hot, and then you get that little pickle, that little gherkin, and then you baptize it in vinegar solution. And when that happens, there's a little chemical change that happens, and presto, you've got a little pickle. Now, you won't get in a pickle tonight. Those are getting baptized. You're going to get blessed. But baptize, that's exactly what the word means. It means to dip and immerse. And so that's how we baptize people. The T is for total immersion. So we know who should get baptized. We know why they should get baptized. Well, how do we do it? We follow the biblical pattern. They went down in the water. They come up out of the water, which, as I said, is a very good thing. But what does it represent? What is the point of that? Because ultimately, we all have showers at home, and I encourage everyone who has been baptized. Hopefully, they've all had a shower or a bath before they come here tonight. So what do we do this for? What actually does this baptism represent? Well, the I stands in baptism, B-A-P-T-I, I think I can spell it, yeah. I stands for identifying with Christ. We identify with what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. When Jesus Christ went onto the cross, when he took our sins upon him, when he was crucified in your place and in my place, when he came, he died on the cross, he was put down in a tomb, his body was taken off the cross, laid in a tomb, but on the third day, he came up, risen to life, and ascended to the Father. He hung around 40 days in different appearances, and then he appeared, ascended to the Father. Many hundreds, up to 500 people saw him at one time. And so Jesus rose again from the dead, and we're really identifying with what Christ has done on the cross for me. Now, Jesus died for everyone. He's died for all of humanity. But for all of those who call upon him, the Bible says, will be saved. He died for everyone. But when you're baptized, you're saying, this is for me. And what, this is my personal thing. This is really happening for me. I'm identifying what Jesus Christ did for me. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so for us, it's like when we go down in the water, it's like even as Christ went down, when he went down, all our sin was taken away. He came up, he ascended to the Father. And we go down there, and this is like a coffin. It's shaped a little bit like one. Hopefully when I get buried, mine will be a bit drier than this. But anyway, it's a little bit like a coffin, so that when they go down in the water, it's like your old life, you're dying to your old life. Everything that you are, everything, every mistake, everything you've ever done, all of those things. Like, now, that person is dead. And when I come up out of the water, just as Christ ascended to the Father, you come up as a brand new person with a new life. And you're identifying with what Christ has done on the cross. So that's what we are doing. We're identifying with what Jesus did on the cross. And the other thing is that the S in baptism, or in baptize, is that our sins are washed away. Now this is Melbourne tap water, very precious these days, although we had enough of it today, I think. This is just ordinary water. We don't bless the water. We don't pray over the water. We just fill it up, and the guys have very faithfully warmed it up, so all those getting baptized, praise God for that. It's just ordinary water, but it actually has a very profound significance to us, what it is signifying to us as we are baptized. Acts 22:16, it says, now what are you waiting for? This is people who have given their life to Christ. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. That's Acts 22:16. And then it's explained, Peter symbol explains to us the symbolism. So there's a washing. And I tell you what, when you get baptized and you come up out of the water, you feel clean like you have never felt clean in your life. You have 10,000 showers, but you get in here and you go down in the waters of baptism. Understand the significance, what it represents. When you come up out of the water, and do you feel clean? You feel radiant. You feel new, because exactly that's what you are, and that's what you're celebrating in that point of identification in baptism, when our sins are washed away. 1 Peter 3:21 is a great little example where Peter talks about baptism, and he talks a bit, a little bit like it's the symbolism of Noah's Ark, that when the world was full of sin and corruption, God destroyed the earth by the flood, destroyed all the sin and corruption, Noah and his family were saved. And it's like that for us. This water is like that. All the rubbish of our life has been taken away by Jesus Christ, and this water symbolizes it. 1 Peter 3:21, it says, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body. So, good idea, you've had a shower, very good. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. And so the people, when they're baptized, they're given their heart to Jesus Christ. As they come through that, their conscience is clear. What a wonderful thing it is to have a clear conscience. My conscience is clear under God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so it's that good conscience, a pledge of the good conscience. The water is like the water that's wiped and destroyed all our sin, washed it all away. And not just a bath, but something on the inside, a pledge of a good conscience to God. And so it's very powerful. And the final in the word baptize is the word E, is for experiencing new life. Because everyone wants a new start, and the only way you ever get a new start in life, people move from this place. Oh, I'm going to go live in Queensland. Now I'm going to Western Australia. And then people live and move all around the world looking for a new life, and they'll never find it, because wherever they go with them. They are there, and they're the same. The only way to be different is to find Christ. The only way to be new is to allow Christ to work in your life. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And what a wonderful thing it is. Brand new, brand spanking new. You come up out of the water, it's like, here I am. I stand before God, and you stand before God as someone who has never done anything wrong in your life, as far as God's concerned, because Jesus' blood has washed it away. He's taken that away on the cross. And that you stand before God with a clear conscience. You can look God straight in the eye. No guilt, no shame. Not because of you, but because of Christ. Because he's washed away all the garbage out of your life. You can look God straight in the eye. And you can enjoy not only eternal life with a promise of life with him forever, but also this life, a full life, because of Jesus Christ. And baptism reminds us of that, the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. So we're not that person anymore. We're not, oh, look, I was this and I was that. Well, you might be, but you're not that now. You are who Christ has made you to be. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. So maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're thinking, man, gee, I would like that. I would like that new life. Well, the way to get that is to give your own heart to Jesus Christ. And it's just a wonderful thing to do, to have a, to be free of guilt, free of shame, to look God in the eye, knowing that you can confidently before him, not only just in this life, but forever, for eternity, to have the promise of eternal life. That is a wonderful thing. And to know that your sins are forgiven and that you have confidence before God. Well, the people are being baptized tonight. They're having full confidence before God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Baptism doesn't save us. The cross saves us. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, that's what saves us. But this helps us identify and apprehend and understand all that Christ has done for us. He's done it for everyone, but he's done it for me. And when you're baptized, it's you. It's everything in history, every moment, every point in time led to Jesus Christ's death on the cross, and he did it just for you. And when you're down there, this is all for me. Jesus did it for me. He did it for everyone, but he did it for me. Very powerful, very profound. So I'm just going to pray now. And in a moment, once I finish praying, the people that are getting baptized would like to go out and they'll go get changed when I finish praying. And while they're getting changed, we're going to be spending some time worshiping the Lord. And while we're worshiping the Lord, we're only going to be seeking God for words. If you remember this church, a part of this church family, God stirs a word. We believe that God talks to us. And one of the ways he talks to us is through prophetic words. A word inspired by God. He gives us the words to say. Doesn't take us over. Just impresses on our heart, on our spirit, the words to say. A word from God to the person to encourage their life. And so we've been praying for that and we're believing for that. And if you're a member of the church family, God stirs something. Don't be afraid to come and to speak that out over the people. But they're going to get changed in just a moment. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the wonder of baptism. Well, Lord, it means so many wonderful things. And Lord, we just are so looking forward to this moment now. Lord, as these people get ready, Lord, to be baptized, Father, we just pray, Lord, as even now faith is rising in their heart, Lord, there's an expectation, Lord, as they have a time of God encounter, Lord, as they go down in the waters of baptism, Lord, that you're going to touch their hearts in a powerful way. Lord, as they come up, Lord, you're going to fill them a new way, Lord, and impart life into them, Lord, even as we speak words from you over their hearts. So, Father, we just thank you for each one. Lord, we just remember our own baptisms for those that have been baptized. Father, we just are so grateful for what you've done in our life. And, Father, I pray if there is anyone here tonight who has not asked Jesus Christ into their life, Lord, who hasn't had the fresh start, Lord, who doesn't really know what's going to happen to them at the end of the day, Lord, I pray that this day, Father, they'll come and say, yeah, look, I want that. I want to find Jesus for me. I need it in my own life. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch people in such a way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.